TV and the daily BFN radio program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to the VFN TV and the daily radio program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. I want to give a big shout out and a hello to our Christian Television Network audience around the nation, around the world, and on the Gulf Coast. Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., and also our VFN radio audience around the nation and around the world.
So many things are going on. My synoptic firings do not happen in order right now. They're just kind of happening all over the place. I guess they define that as a seizure, right? What a day. Was yesterday, if you missed yesterday's program, I was reading from what Pat had written, and it was, you know, obviously it's coming, it's unfolding, and it's maturing, and but you got to hear we've got to get rid of the pride. We can no longer be comfortable with the very thing that God resists. Mm-hmm. You know, and hopefully we will be able to play for today that man, the Christian in the Washington Mall, that began to it was so refreshing when somebody really talks about the real deal. I mean, it's just like, oh yes, you know. And he said it. I mean, he didn't point at nobody. He didn't blame nobody. He knew right then. He was saying, "It's my sins that brought this on this nation."
Wow.
You know, it's my sins that brought this on this nation, and I need to repent for him. And that's he's right. The church, it's us. You know, and his tears are just pouring down his face. But you know what? That's the kind of heart that God can say, okay, I'll tell you what. And he can just reboot. Mm-hmm. He can just, you know, forgive and reboot. And it's just amazing, you know, how good our God is. And he's just looking for those opportunities to be able to forgive us. But we have to ask. We have to ask him to forgive us. And hopefully we'll have that segment so you can hear firsthand the heart of what our heart is that we're realizing we're not looking to Washington. We're not looking to the Supreme Court. We're not looking, because this is what's happening today is not the issue. You know, as we say, the issue is us. You know, when you think about Nehemiah, when Nehemiah was going to go back and rebuild the walls, you know, it started with a prayer of repentance for his sin and his father's sins. It wasn't praying for the king's sins. It wasn't praying for those who weren't God's people's sins. You know, it was his own sins and the sins of his father. And so they're in the mall protesting. Some people are just, you know, there's an issue before the Supreme Court right now. Mm-hmm. And they're wanting to define marriage. They want the courts to be able to define it. And so you have people that are down there, you know, for one side and one for the other side. But this is the guy that got on the right side. He don't have a sign or anything, but he has tears coming down his face. You got to hear this. This is an interview is taking place by CBN News. Listen up.
This man from Maryland says the scene reduced him to tears.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this onto this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
So First Street.
It is amazing. It's like, there's wow. there's probably thousands of people down there, and one man understands it. He has tears running down his face. You're going to be able to see this on the VFN Torch, but this is an interview being done. That's just a part of the interview. But it's the only part of the interview that I think counts. He understands it. Mm-hmm. Because it's not about all this other stuff. By the way, everybody in D.C. right now, I don't care who they are, what their political affiliation is, whether they have a leadership job or not, whether they're a judge or whatever, God loves them. Mm-hmm. You know, and his desire is for them to be saved and to make it. The issue is with the church. Yeah. You know, the issue is with, and I'm talking about Christians here. I'm not talking about people who want to say that they're believers, us. I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the physical building. I'm talking about us, the building of Christ. And it's like, oh my goodness. It's just like, yes. You know, and so that is what we really need to get out. And he says, oh, my goodness. He says, my sin has brought this on this nation. He's taking ownership of the condition of the nation. That's, isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
That's just awesome. So beautiful. And I'm like, and that's the burden that I felt like for a long time, that, you know, this is my fault. This is our fault. You know, we've allowed this to go on. We allow religious folk to go on acting like everything's normal and religious spirit type thing, versus, you know, let's just get real, beat our chest and say, God, we need forgiveness. Not like the religious dude who sat there and said, you know, I'm glad I'm not like him.
Hmm.
And that's what's going on right now, probably in D.C., is they're pointing at people saying, I'm glad I'm not like him or her or whatever. And Jesus, you know, talks about the man that beat his chest and realized, you know, his condition.
Right.
And that's the one that got in.
Mm-hmm.
You're not the one that's just, you know, all, you know, prideful and self-reliant and thought he didn't figure out how everything works when he's standing, you know, he's given, Jesus explained that. So no, it's the man that beat his chest and said, I'm not even worthy to even go anywhere. And it's like, oh my goodness. Where are we in D.C. right now in the Washington Mall beating our chest going, like, this guy's what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's my sin that's brought this on this nation. It's my sin. God, forgive me for my sin. And if we don't do this, there's no hope for this nation. That's a prophecy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a prophecy, which means two things. One is there's hope for the nation. We just need to have his heart towards our own sin and towards God. And you know, we were part of Stand in the Gap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we went there some time back with, I don't know, one, two, three, a million men at least. And it was the most beautiful. It's the closest thing that I could have ever imagined what heaven would be like.
Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
And because it was all of us from all over the country. And, you know, I'm talking about every social economic group, every race, every, but it's all men. There was women on the outskirts, some women on the outskirts that were doing some things that weren't so nice.
Mm. And, those, yeah.
Yeah. but despite all that, the men that were there, they just loved on them and just didn't say anything. But it was just amazing. Men are praying for each other, loving God, and there's something beautiful about, you know, men, you know, loving God.
Yeah.
You know, just being real.
One significant moment is when we all took a moment to repent, and you could hear, I mean, just the quietness. There's a million men on the
wall. I know,
wall.
A million.
I mean, it was the most holy moment. I mean, quiet is just amazing. And it was just no talking, no movement. And it was just men getting right with God and repenting for their sins and for the sins of their nation.
I was praying for mine. I know that.
I know that's right.
When I finished mine, I helped Pat out. He had a few.
Oh, my goodness. That's a long list over there. So.
Mm-hmm.
But it was powerful, absolutely powerful. And the worship was just intense. But everywhere you went, it seemed like Washington, D.C., for that moment, that weekend, was overtaken by a million Christian men all over the city.
Right. And also, I remember that, remember when Joseph Garlington was...
I like him.
Because they had so many different... by the way, this is available to you on the VFN Torch. You can see some video footage. You can hear some of the songs that were being sung right there. You can go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch and see this. It was such a powerful moment. But Joseph Garlington just got such a cool perspective of a real perspective of so many things of the Lord. And but he was singing. Do you remember the singing that took place with it says, you know, Jesus, make a man of me, a man of integrity, a man of the spirit, a man of his word.
Mm-hmm.
And that all that was just echoing through all those buildings and the museums and all that was taking place down there. Or E.V. Hill. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
The Lord now.
I love that guy.
Like, he was the real deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He said, like, some people call themselves, people who call themselves a leader, they ain't got nobody following them, just merely taking a walk.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people today that think because they're paying people to follow them, they're a leader.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is that when you begin, you need men to move in their places. You're going to see some awesome leadership when men begin to just get back in that place. Because what happened was at that time, you know, men went back. You know, if at that one moment, that repentance could have ended, said, okay, okay, you're the leader.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I want to impart this leadership to you, and I want you to go back with the ownership of that title and that responsibility. And I don't want you to be, I don't want you to cow down anymore. I don't want you to feel intimidated in the presence of the religious. I want you to look at what God says about you. And I want you to come together in your, you know, your group of, your band of brothers to provoke each other to continue this and to lead. Mm-hmm. You know, lead in your business, lead in your marriage, lead in your home, lead in your community. And it just kind of like fell short in the context of they didn't fall short. So we came back, it just went back into religion because that's what was happening in all the gathering, many of the gatherings at that time. It was just, there was like, hey, we're going to get some men woken up so they can come in here and work with our programs.
Right.
And it's like, oh, men don't do programs. So you got to get this. You got to get it. It's on the VFN torch. Also, there's a picture. We have a picture, an aerial shot. And I believe that at that time it was President Clinton. It was Clinton. President right there. And think about this: what you could have done as a president. And today, by the way, the Billary package is running for office.
The Billary package.
And this is so connective because he could have came out as a president out of the White House, which is like right there, and gotten the very, very front. In front, on the very, very front of what was going on, why Joseph maybe was singing, leading us all in worship to God. Heaven's going to be awesome, by the way. It's just going to be just that alone, and worshiping God in that way. But he could have been on his face, like so many men were. He could have been on his face, and how the America would have shifted.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he got on Marine One. He got in the helicopter,
just flew over.
And he circled the mall, and then flew off. A million. Wow. I mean, this is before Twitter and Facebook. I mean, there was a million followers.
Yeah.
That a politician flew over. A politician.
Wow.
He had a chance to get, you know, connected at least with a million. And I believe the whole world was watching. They were broadcasting it all around the world, right?
Oh, yeah.
C-SPAN
yeah.
was broadcasting. They were broadcasting everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
TBN, all the ones. But instead of coming out and hitting the ground with every other man out there, I mean, he would have blended in.
Mm.
He just humbled himself.
Mm-hmm.
And today it's like, oh my goodness, what's happening in the world today? When you think about all these pieces connecting and all. And you got to see this. You got one thing too, you might be able to see, you see Pat and I up front because we got up in time. we're up front and, you know,
I think we have a picture of that somewhere.
I do.
By the way.
And we have a picture of John. And you know John, I mean, if he's up front, we got to put him on our shoulders so he can see. And so.
You other vertically challenged people out there, he really does not mean this.
Okay? Oh, yeah. I thought about that. They really, you know, I really don't. I
really
seriously.
Does not mean this.
Seriously. These things I say, Pat is not in shape. I don't say, no. Listen, I don't.
Nope.
Truly.
He loves everyone. He really loves everyone.
I do.
Everyone.
Right. I'm sorry. If somebody's... No. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
By the way, that picture,
what?
When you do a Google search for Promise Keepers, it shows up on Google search.
Really?
Once.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I was delayed back there. Because I was actually waiting for the rest of my group to get ready. And we all went out there together. But listen, just by the Washington Monument alone, there had to be about 30, 40,000 people. But yeah, you had to get out there pretty early to get out there in the front. I don't think you were way up in the front. Were you way up in the front?
Oh, we were
compared
way
to you,
up front.
We were like behind Joseph Garland.
We were on the front row.
you were by the Washington Monument.
Oh, my God.
You were by the Washington Monument, and we were like a couple feet back. They had so many different monitrons and TVs and goodness. You know, we did enjoy it and it was just wonderful, but I wish I could go back and just enjoy it better.
I know. And this is when we didn't
You would have got up in time, wouldn't you? You would have like, I'm leaving you guys in this room. You guys taking forever, you know?
I was with the group, man. I said, come on, guys. You know, I didn't want to leave them.
Wasn't Joe with you?
Joe, Bob.
I saw him he's like standing in the gap.
Staying his grip is what he says.
Yeah.
His grip.
he was talking about some things. So I was thinking about you guys. You had a group by then, that, right?
Yeah, we had an awesome group.
You had Joe. Yeah.
Joe, Bob.
Bob. Gwee. Oh, my Gwee. Oh, my goodness.
What, Miguel?
No, Miguel wasn't in it. That was that's his dad. Gwee was in it.
That's right.
Brad.
Yeah, Brad. Yes.
Brad. I have a funny picture of Brad and Joe to this day. They both had their heads tilted back, doing a B-boy pose.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a monument. Arash.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember him.
It was an amazing, and you know what? All these guys, think about that. I mean, that was such an amazing, amazing time. We went together as a men's group, and you had all different, you know, backgrounds. I mean, all races whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
Different socioeconomic backgrounds, different races, and yet the one thing they had in common
right.
is that they loved the Lord. I'm sorry, someone's styling and profiling in the studio, but
it's fine.
Pat, go ahead.
Okay,
but that was amazing because we were all different ages, we were all different races, and society would say
and
that
height.
We couldn't come together. Yeah, and, no doubt, and thickness.
Ooh.
Oh,
you had to go there.
Oh my goodness, it's all right. It's cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
I don't mind.
But God was there in the midst, and it was just so powerful. We met at a conference room of a,
oh yeah,
and that place was blessed. They knew we were coming on in.
You know how much energy Gary always has, right?
Oh my goodness!
But that early in the morning, he was just kind of
all that in the morning, huh?
Yeah, I remember the morning we had the breakfast. You're talking about that we all kind of gathered in a place.
Was that the Burger King?
No, that was New Orleans. This is Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Stand in the gap.
Oh, yeah.
Good morning. It's glad to have you with us. Saints. He's thinking about the Superdome is what it is.
Oh,
I just remember a bunch of men.
Yeah.
Remember when we went to Birmingham? And we a bunch of men to Birmingham.
When it rained.
Sopping wet.
Yeah, men were laying in puddles of water worshiping God.
Isn't that amazing?
And we ate. Nobody mind. And we ate food. They fed all these thousands of men. And we ate the food up under a flatbed truck because that's the place that you could find water or find shelter from that. And it's just so cool. You know, by the way, just to let you know that, you know, the Lord has shown me that it ain't over.
Mm.
I mean, he's shown me stadiums filled with men and filled with fathers and sons and worshiping God. Mm. And we will see it again at a cranked up level. Of abiding men and abiding sons, as you know, 11-year-old boys take the stage and begin to say, "This is what the Lord just told me this morning." And the whole room will lean forward, and the power of God, bam, at that place. Because God says, "I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh."
Mm.
And some of the things that God's shown us about the young people, how he's going to begin to speak through them and minister through them. And we're seeing it now. But as it goes, you're not going to be able to hold back. I mean, you think about Breakaway and Texas A&M. I mean, you're looking at the people hearing the real deal, going after God. And they said, if the Lord leaves, it all stops. And that's how you know when it's God.
Mm-hmm.
There's 10,000 students that are gathering. I think it's in a basketball gymnasium. You got to see the picture on the torch.
Yes.
You got to see this. But the video is amazing. Got to watch it. But just to see all of them gather at one time, it's absolutely amazing. I love the stadiums. I see them. I see this. I see it. I see it with you. Yeah. It's going to be absolutely a great thing.
We'll be right back in a moment.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Find out more at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Providing resources on your rights in the workplace. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
As a coworker, I have a colleague that is on an FMLA, and I'm just wondering, what are the restrictions of me to that colleague? Am I not allowed to ask any certain questions?
You're talking about someone on the Family Leave Act?
Yeah.
Well, look, I mean, there's a complicated issue when it's not just the Family Leave Act. There's other federal laws that are at play in a situation with an employment and working over the weekends and Sundays, and there's a question of what's called reasonable accommodation. Can an employer make a reasonable accommodation? Those are the kind of things you have to ask in these questions. Let me give you a great resource, though, to go to, and that is our website. We've got a whole section dedicated to these issues, so I encourage you to go to aclj.org to get some information there.
Learn more about your rights in the workplace at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just go to vfntv.com, click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded in your stuff somehow, and you can play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you.
There
it's
you
yours.
Go.
Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it. If you have not yet gone, go to VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors. They're great. I mean, they're just really great people. Think about it. They're standing up for God and country in that order and Israel.
Mm.
We need to do business with people who do business with God like that.
That's
in our community, right? That means God will bless our community when we have businesses that will stand up like that. So make sure you swing by there and be able to visit them.
Silent night, holy night.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, today's wisdom moment, and wisdom is the proper application of knowledge, comes from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. It reads, "My son, do not forget my teachings, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity." How many people are spending excessive amount of money trying to look younger and younger and extend their life? You know, I don't understand why a believer wants to keep on going in darkness, but definitely the world, they know it's over.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people that don't even drive cars are for this don't text and drive thing, because they don't want their limousine to be hit and know that all their reward is over here, because only here on earth, it's not any far beyond that. But he says, listen, he says, "My son, do not forget my teachings and keep my commands in your heart." So that the teachings, we got to remember in our mind, but we also got to have them in our heart. That's so important, because sometimes you can have stuff in your head that has never even ventured into your heart. Mm-hmm. But God's word has so much more meaning when you begins to become self-applicable. You begin to take it into your own heart and you begin to walk it out. "Those who follow my teachings are really my disciple, and they know the truth, and the truth sets them free." And we're talking about prosperity and prolonged life and peace and understanding that's so important. We're saying don't forget it, which means, first of all, you can forget. And if you don't know this yet, you know, and some people say, "Well, I don't forget anything." It's more than likely because you don't know much, and so you don't have much to forget. But if you start putting enough on your plate and start moving along with responsibilities, mm-hmm. You're going to be looking for wisdom, not for your ability to recall things. And so we have to begin. How can I begin to learn the things of God that I can remember them? And abiding is that we talk about quite often at iabide.org and get you a plan there. But he says, but if you'll actually not forget the teachings of God and put his commands in our heart. And he said this in the very beginning. God's always said this about us. He said, then your days will be prolonged. Save your money from all the chemicals and creams and pills and vitamins and all that kind of stuff. Why not just
you know and follow God. Follow his ways. You're going to have a prolonged life. Mm-hmm. Hey, you want a real prolonged life? Really follow God.
That's right.
Those who really are my disciples, they know the truth and they follow it, right? And he says, if you do this, he says, then it'll bring you peace. And how many people are wanting peace? It's amazing how anxious everybody is. They're just worried and concerned and, you know, a lot of different motives. Quite often it's just self, you know, not wanting to be hurt, not wanting things not to go your way. And, oh my goodness, it's like they're always going to be miserable because it's going to go God's way, whether they like it or not. Mm-hmm. The peace, I mean, the definition of peace is the normal, non-wearing condition of a nation, a group of nations. This peace, non-warring, or they're not warring against each other. I mean, think about your home. The normal, non-warring condition of a nation, of a marriage. I mean, you're talking about strife in a marriage when you have two people not following God at all, or you have one following God and one saying they're following God. I mean, there's going to be a warring condition there. But if you want peace in your marriage, then the thing is you're going to have to learn the teachings of Jesus and follow them, and not only have them in your head, but you're going to have them in your heart and have them in your behavior. If you want peace in your relationships, this is how you do it. Walk with those who walk with God. And you think about it, the state of mutual harmony between people and groups, especially in personal relationships. Peace. This brings peace to us. How beautiful is that? Do you want peace? It's tough to be at peace with somebody who does not want to know the ways of God, and that they want to know them in their mind, but they don't want to know them in their heart, and they don't want to walk them out. It's just hanging up. It's just not going to be peaceful with that person. I mean, doesn't mean you're not going to stay in a relationship with them, but realize, brace yourself. It's going to be a long ride. But then he says, not only that, but then it'll bring you not only peace, but it'll bring you prosperity. How many people are trying to be prosperous? Working day and night. I just want to be prosperous. I want to be prosperous, you know? And when you look at the word prosperity, it means a successful, flourishing, and thriving condition. Guess what? It doesn't mean you get a pile of cash. Mm-hmm. It's a successful, flourishing, or thriving. But yeah, it could be in the area of financial, but also it can be in good fortune. It could be just you got food on the table every night. You have a place to live, to stay out of the weather. You have great relationships in your life. You know, the prosperity of our nation that, you know, we once walked in a way that I believe if we'll go back to the not forgetting the teachings of Jesus and put the commands of God back in, not only on our walls in our courtroom, but put them in our heart, then not only will America have a prolonged life, but we as a people will have a prolonged life. We'll have peace again inside of our homes, inside of our cities, inside of our states, inside of our nation. But not only that, we'll be prosperous. How many people are just willing to go again and again? And they can say, maybe this one's it. Maybe this one's it. This is going to be the mother lode. This is going to bring us prosperity, baby. This is going to bring us some stuff. This is a great business. And your husband or your wife's going, not again. No, not again. Your kids are going, not again. Your city's going, not again. The truth is, this is the secret to prosperity. Today's wisdom moment comes from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. My son, do not forget my teachings, but keep my commandments in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Restoring the purity in giving. Giving without regret. Imagine having a wonderful time of being able to celebrate others and to be able to get them gifts and go through a gift-giving season. And it to be all said and done, and all you have is good memories. No regret, no debt, no 5 years to pay it off. Listen, we have to get a right perspective of giving again. We have to understand it's supposed to be a good experience. We have to restore the purity in giving. Today, a special offer available this week to you at VFNTV.com. Just go to the VFNTV.com, click on special offer, an offer of any amount, and it could be yours. I encourage you, get it now, listen to it, so that you can truly restore the purity in giving, and you'll be giving without regret this Christmas season.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Mm. And you're very thankful, you're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books, they got the books memorized, you know, they got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to
the. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, I was thinking about this not too long ago, and I was encouraged. I know that we've been talking some time about getting fit and enjoying some recreation and getting back in shape. And, you know, sometimes you get stuck in a paradigm, you know, a pattern of thinking where you think, you know, I can, maybe I'm getting older, I can't do those certain things anymore, and maybe I can't be as active as I used to be. And you just kind of go with the flow and go with a mindset that's maybe what's popular to other people, and it kind of limits you. And I just came across an article and some news about this gentleman. I mean, obviously we think about people working out, we think about young people, and we think about people being active. But there's a guy by the name of Jim Hurd, who at 81 years old, Pat, 81 years old, is still, he's running. He's a sprinter, and he competes amongst other men in their 70s in these events.
Uh-huh.
He has ribbons, he has medals. I mean, he's 81 years old, and we're not talking walking. He's actually, and we're not talking like a marathon, a jog,
right?
A sprint. You know, I mean, sprint is like an explosive race. You're down on kind of, you know, on your hands and you know, real low. When that gun fires, you're supposed to be just bolt out of the box. You're supposed to just, with an explosion, make a mad dash.
Mm-hmm.
And here's this 81-year-old man who's just shattering at least my paradigms of working out and how fit you can be. And it's just an example. I mean, just think about Jim. I mean, it's a great example for working out, but it's such a great example for so many things in life where maybe you've had a mindset that, well, you know, because most people don't do that, then, you know, I need to stay within the box. You know, the box only says that you could only do, you know, this thing. And what was cool about Jim is that he wasn't always a runner. He wasn't always a sprinter. Believe it or not, he started running and doing these sprints when he was in his 60s. He started, yeah, his coworker kind of figured out, what do you know, he stopped hanging out, and they asked him, what do you do? And he's like, well, I haven't told my family this yet, but I'm actually training for this sprinting competition. He was inspired by someone out on the West Coast who was doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I want to do this. I want to try it. At 60, I want to encourage you that maybe you can be like a gym. Maybe it's working out. Maybe you've said, you know, I'm too overweight, or I'm too old, or, you know, my body hurts too much and I can't do those things. I can't run anymore like I used to. Those are for young people. I'm past my prime. Well, let me tell you, gym totally shattered that paradigm. But maybe it's something else. Maybe you've thought that, you know, I've done, you know, all that I can do for the Lord, and this is all I can, and, you know, I'm just happy to do X, Y, Z. Let me tell you, you can take that paradigm off. You can go into a whole new direction in your life, and you can say, listen, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. You can change the world if you can just change your mind. And it's amazing how patterns of thinkings and thoughts can either propel you into your destiny, or it can lock you into, you know, a doom and gloom situation where you can't see your way out. Your best thinking has actually got you to the place that you're in today. And so you can just change your mind. Oftentimes, and I hope we can get to this, you know, more in this hour, but the power of thoughts and where thoughts can take us to. You know, oftentimes thoughts are like seeds, and they actually produce, you know, bad seeds, you know, bad thoughts produce a bad harvest, but good thoughts produce a great harvest. And I was actually having this conversation with my sons, and I said, you know, what would happen to a child who is in school? And subconsciously, they have a thought that maybe they're not smart enough, or that they're dumb, that they don't know anything. What are some behaviors, some actions or inactions that young person would have, you know, how would they act out in their classroom? So they gave me some examples. Oh, he would, you know, he or she would be scared, or, you know, they wouldn't want to mess up. But the truth is that if a person, young or old, let's say, who's learning in an educational environment, for example, has a mindset, has thoughts running through their mind that they're dumb, that they're not smart, those thoughts are operating in the background of their mind. Listen, do you think that child's ever going to raise their hand to answer a question? Do you think that student's ever going to raise their hand to volunteer and answer in public? Do you think that person's going to, you know, get up there and solve that mathematical equation if they think that in their mind that they can't? And it's so important to recognize that thoughts always produce something. And so I'm amazed at how many times people try to live in a autopilot type of environment, but not realizing that there's a thought processes that are occurring every day in their mind. You know, there's thoughts that saying I can, there's certain thoughts that saying that I can't. And if we can deal with our thoughts, where the Bible says to take every thought captive and make them obedient to Christ. I mean, when you think about taking every thought captive, there's a role that every person has to play. You know, I can't get in your mind and you can't get in my mind. And oftentimes people are struggling with the fact that I just can't control what's in their head. No, you can't. Mm. Everyone has to control their guardian of their own heart. You know, the Bible says, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of your life. It is the fountain of your life. And if you have toxic, stinking thinking, you're going to have toxic harvest. You're going to have a toxic result in your life. We can actually change our thoughts. Oftentimes, I like to say you can change it like you change a channel on a television screen with the remote. You just kind of just change it, and you can think on good things. In fact, that's what the Bible tells us to do. It says whatever's excellent, whatever's trustworthy, whatever's wonderful, think on these things. And that's the beginning of being able to redirect or refocus your thought process, and, you know, refocus everything that's going on in your life. Because let me tell you something, today can be the time that you make the choice to say, you know what, I don't like the fruit that I'm living in. I don't like what's happening in my life. I don't like the harvest. when you can decide this today to say, you know what, I'm going to change how I've been thinking about maybe this situation about my family, maybe change the situation, what's running in your mind about your career, maybe about your health, you know, your fitness, you can begin to start filling yourself with faith-filled thoughts and declarations of what you want to see manifest in your life. You can never go and do anything that's opposite of what you've been thinking about. I mean, we all know that in the natural, but how many times have we been trying to think about or thinking that we're going to do something that's completely contrary to the thoughts that we've been having in our mind? You know, I'm going to get a job. Meanwhile, you've been thinking thoughts that there are no jobs around there. There are no jobs. But you're not going to get a job. You're fooling yourself. Or, you know, I'm going to get fit. I'm going to be fit. I'm going to be in a lean, mean. I'm going to, you know, lose all this weight. But in reality, you constantly have thoughts in your mind that I'm not going to lose this weight. You know, I can't stop eating. This is not going to happen. It's never going to be a reality in your life if you don't change your thoughts, if you don't change the seeds that you've been sowing in your mind. Or, you know, if you have thoughts in your mind that God doesn't love you, if you have thoughts in your mind that God's not for you, if you have thoughts in your mind that God is rejecting you, then you're never, ever going to experience His love the way you can. Because those thoughts are going to limit your actions. They're going to limit what you do. And that's why we need to be encouraged every day to take our thoughts captive. You know, I like to the analogy that I like to use a lot oftentimes is that, you know, maybe there's a conveyor belt that's running through your mind. And all of a sudden there's a thought that comes there, you know. Not every thought that enters your mind is from you. God can drop a thought in, you know, for you. But so can the enemy. And if it doesn't line up with God or His word, you can take that thought that's going on that conveyor belt and literally snatch it down. Just go ahead and pull it down and make it obedient to Christ. And you can replace that bad thought with a good thought. Thoughts that say you can't, and you replace it with thoughts that say you can. And I'm telling you that if you change your thinking, you will see a different harvest in your life. You will see different things occur in your life that will just literally change your world. But it all begins with what are you going to allow to run in your mind. You have to be disciplined in that area. Otherwise, you'll start reaping all sorts of different things because you just allowed your mind to run wild. It's the wild, wild west. You have to give yourself parameters. There's certain things that you can't focus on, and there's certain things that you can. You know, it reminds me of when I was talking with my sons about baseball when they were playing, you know, and I was coaching there on their baseball team. You know, they had some boys that went up to bat, and I mean, they're taking their bat and they're hitting home plate, and they're ready. They're going to crush something. Right, I mean, it doesn't matter what the pitcher's throwing in their mind, they're getting a base hit. And they're going to get on base. I mean, it's just, you can just see the energy and the intensity. And then you have some other boys that maybe they haven't played much, or you know, it's their first year, and they're you can see every thought. I mean, you can literally see in their actions and their body language their thoughts, because they're like, I don't know if I'm going to hit. They ask questions like, how many outs is it, coach? Because they don't want to make the last out, you know, or they're looking at the pitcher and they're saying things like, oh, he's throwing so fast. Oh, my goodness, watch his arm. You know, oh, those guys are so big over there. Mm-hmm. Those are all fearful type statements. And they're out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. All of those things are literally just been flooding in their heart. And so when they get up there, they strike out, you know, they don't do well. And then they wonder why they're not getting a hit. And they're not making contact. Well, because they defeated themselves in their own mind. It's impossible to move outside of what you've been thinking. You know, and it's not always goes to the swift or to the most talented. It goes to the person who thinks they can, who has faith to believe. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this other young boy on one of their teams. He didn't have the most prettiest swing. You know, they talk about different people's baseball swings, and Jackie Robinson has such a beautiful swing, and this person just looks so so nice when they're up at bat. I mean, you could just know that if they ever make contact, that ball is hitting out of the ballpark. Well, this young boy, he didn't have the prettiest stance or the nicest swing, but what he did have was faith, and he did have excellent thoughts in his mind. I mean, in his mind, and he'd tell you, I'm going to get a hit. And it didn't look pretty, but he sure got on base.
Wow.
And he wasn't the fastest guy, but he sure hustled. And more often than not, a person, I mean, he didn't have natural talents. And, you know, some people have natural gifts. They just start doing something, you know, and they just flow. He didn't have the natural gifts, but what he did have was a great command of his thoughts and his belief on what he was able to do. And he did it. But the same could be true of you. You know, you can say, listen, I'm tired of this toxic thinking. I'm tired of the results I've been getting. And I want to believe God. I want to move in the area of faith. I want to move in the area of believing and thinking that I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. That I can, that I'm the head and not the tail. And if God is for me, who can be against me? You know, and greater is he that lives in me than he that's in the world. And that I am important because God loves me and he died for me. You know, and that, you know, all things are possible for those who believe. And God said, call things that are not as though they were. You know, and if one can send 1,000 a flight, two can send 10,000 a flight. And I can do this. I can, me and God are a majority and we can take the land. That's a whole different mindset. Those are all different thoughts than, you know, oh my goodness, it's Monday. Oh my goodness, it's Tuesday. I woke up today, you know, and I have yesterday was a bad day, and I'm sure today's going to be worse. You know, that's not going to go well. But I'll tell you that if we allow our thoughts to line up with the Word of God, and we allow the Word of God to just stay within our spirit, within our heart, we will begin to see the manifestation of God's word. You know, Joshua says, do not let this book of the law depart from my mouth, your mouth, but meditate on it day and night so that you will be successful in all that you do. We have to meditate and spend time with God.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
Think about this. If you haven't seen R.A. Dickey, R.A. Dickey is on the VFN TV blog. And John had a chance. Some of you caught this on Monday. He had a chance with Isaiah and Elijah, who are baseball fans, the New York Mets, to be able to spend some moments with him. And his testimony now is available, John.
I saw that.
Isn't that cool?
Yes. Yes, I saw that.
And tell us what happened there.
Well, it's pretty cool. You know, R.A. Dickey is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has a tremendous testimony. I mean, what God has done in his life is just absolutely amazing. He wrote a new book. You can get it, I'm sure, in all the bookstores. It has a very long title, but you can go to VFNTV.com. But
well, it's called R.A. Dickey, Wherever I Wind Up.
Yes, there's a subtitle there.
Yeah, and subtitle.
Yeah, but It's pretty cool, you know, because he's been through so many trials and so many things in his life.
Haven't we all?
Yeah, I know. But it's cool when you give God credit, you know.
Yes,
when
it
you
is. Don't
when you arrive to a place of prominence, it's when you come to a place of stage, when you come to a place when the whole world, you know, is looking at you, you don't pound your chest and say it was me, my hard work or what I've done, but you give glory to the Lord. And that's what he's done. I mean, the book is very therapeutic because you just see just the trials of any ordinary man. But we had a chance to go see him at the Yogi Berra Stadium. You know, Yogi Berra lives close out here, one of the famous Yankee players of all time. And he was doing a book signing, and we had the chance. You know, my son, we happened to be in Philadelphia not too long ago, and we're standing outside of the Liberty Bell, and we're waiting to get on in, and my son happens to recognize another baseball player. And I'm saying, son, Elijah, it is hot on here. There's no way that this player is out here. Long story short, him and his mom walk up to the player, and it winds up being Bobby Parnell, pitcher for the New York Mets. And so he had to get a chance to get an autograph, and that was a pretty cool experience. And when he walked away, you know, I always like to talk about Christ and talk about the Lord and just let people know about the love of God. And when we left, I said, you know, we didn't even talk to Bobby about the Lord or anything. I said, you know, if we ever get a chance again to speak to someone on a baseball team or someone that maybe has prominence, then we're going to share with them the most important thing in our life. And so here we go, getting ready to see R.E. Dickey. And there was such a huge response to seeing him. I mean, people were showing up all over the place. They were sold out. And we decided that, you know, everyone's getting autographs. We wanted to bless R.E. Dickey with a ball that says iabide.org.
You know, I'm looking at it right now.
I mean, think about it. He's a believer, and we wanted to bless him with the opportunity. Hey, listen, you know, this is awesome. You need to abide with the Lord, and I'm sure he is. But we wanted to encourage him with that. And so we walk up to him, introduce ourselves, and say, hey, R.A., we have this awesome ball we want to give you. We know that you're a believer. And I had a chance to encourage him and say, listen, you know, this is your season. This is your time. God's putting you on a platform, you know, share the gospel. And he said, thank you. He asked me to continue to pray for him. But I said, I want to give you this gift about abiding and spending time with the Lord. He looked at it. I believe his wife was sitting right next to him, and she was really surprised. She was like, oh, my goodness, you know, I guess no one does that. And he said, wow, I'm definitely going to take a look at it. He was pretty touched by it. And so he was willing to take a picture with us. And it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome when you can spend time with the Lord and read his word and have the opportunity to hear God for yourself. That's one of the inheritance that the son and the daughter of God have, that God wants to have a personal relationship with you, that there is no in-between, that there isn't anyone that has to stand between you and God. You know, think about it. You may never have access with some of the most powerful men and women of the world. You may never ever get a chance to meet or talk, but you have access with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when you sit down and abide with God and read his word. And I encourage you, if you don't have a plan, if you don't know where to start, you know, oftentimes people that they want to read the word of God, you know, but they don't know where to start. They don't know what plan, what to follow. Let me tell you, you can get a simple plan that gets you started at iabide.org. That's the letter I and the word abide, ABIDE.org. And you can just begin. It's a simple plan. But let me tell you, I encourage you to do it for 6 weeks. Make a commitment. Say, you know what? I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to hear God for myself. And I promise you, he'll speak back to you through his word.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I was talking about, I wasn't talking about that miracle. I was talking about another miracle.
Oh,
that miracle. The one that you received.
Again.
Don't you remember?
Come on, man.
Help me.
You were driving across the plains of America in the storms, and we're talking about the goodness of God in the land of the living. And we were talking about, this is what happened, Pat.
Obviously, he's just got amnesia.
So, you know, we're talking about the Lord and all these wonderful things that God's doing, and all of a sudden he's in all this traffic. I don't know, probably 8 lanes of traffic, I'm imagining. I can ask him when we finish talking about him. Yes. And all of a sudden, he just interrupts our conversation with, "Oh no!" And I'm thinking, oh my goodness.
What happened?
Maybe he can't reach the accelerator. I'm thinking, what's going on? What's going on right here?
Yeah, right. Get another phone book. Quick.
Yeah, go. Oh, pillow. That pillow thing may have slid out. And so I'm thinking, this is dangerous in traffic. You know, you got to be able to reach those pedals. And all of a sudden, I didn't know what it was. And finally, he let me know that he was out of gas.
Oh, are you serious?
He was out of gas, and he was like, it was raining. I can tell it was raining because his wipers were going, boom, boom. His phone picks up so good. I'm like,
everything.
I'm not going to get on a rabbit trail because I'll be lost. But anyway, that and so, and it was just over. He's going to be stuck on the side of the road in the middle of the rain. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it was another state because he was heading back to his state. And he prayed. I'll say, okay, I'll let you go.
Bye.
Let me know how it goes.
I'm sure you're going to wear this puppy out. I'll let you go. I'll let you go. You know, we just said a prayer for him. Dear God, help John.
Those always seem to work.
And next thing you know, I get a phone call and he gives me a testimony that God just caused the car to begin to run on fumes. It ran on fumes all the way to a gas station.
Oh my God.
And he got gas.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That has never happened for me.
No. Well, John gets extra miracles.
He gets extra credit.
He gets totally extra miracles. You know, you're just too smart. John and I need a lot more miracles than you.
We need a lot of miracles.
Yeah. That's amazing. So back to you, John.
Yeah. Actually, the car stopped.
You didn't look at the gas gauge.
Rain. Gas. And I got caught up talking to, Mr. You-Know-Who. And so we're having this in-depth conversation. We're having such a great conversation. Oh, my goodness, I forgot to get gas. So
he knew this because his car began to jerk all over the road. Not because he looked in the direction of the gas gauge.
Needle, yeah.
Hiccups. And so it was an experience. It was an experience, to say the least.
AutoDocs of Pensacola is where all sick cars go to get well. Take advantage of their $29 oil change special, which includes a free vehicle checkup. Call today and save $5 on your next oil change. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape, he'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. You scrub a pup in Mary Esther, right across from the Santa Rosa Mall, where we offer 3 levels of service for all of your dog washing needs. Shampoos, after bath doggy colognes, lots of treats and belly rubs, and so much more. Bring your dog in today. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. Looking for a holistic, organic, and herbal approach for healing? Look no further than All Time Remedies in Pensacola. With over 200 bulk herbs on the shelf, large variety, and high quality, call, visit online, or drop in today and sign up for one of our popular workshops. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.